Time for Strong Women on the morning show, KEXE, KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton with Laura Connolly. Laura is our consultant for this project that's funded by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the Citizens of Minnesota. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you for having me, Heidi.
You're welcome. So we met last week, and it's been a while since we've had one of our focus groups, and it was really fun to reassemble and gather women via Zoom and kind of bring up some topics. It was one of our more interesting topics from what we heard, I would say. We talked about women and emotions.
We did.
Yeah. It's something I think we talk about a lot.
We do.
And I had been thinking about it a lot in terms of work.
Yes. And just how there are a lot of social rules around how women should be in the workplace when it comes to their emotions.
Right, right. And that it feels like if women do step outside of what's expected of us and, you know, maybe have a emotional reaction, that that's a bad thing. But we'll get into that a little bit more. First, I just want to talk about this, how we assemble these focus groups and kind of your background in doing this kind of work.
Yeah, sure. So what we do typically is you and I have a discussion and we come up with sort of a question that we want to explore with women. And then we usually do an open call. So you put it out on Facebook, you announce it on the air, and then we, you know, say, let's get 15 women together and talk about this issue. And we really don't have any sort of answer in mind. We have our own experiences that we share as well, but we're really trying to understand certain things with the women in group. And this time, you and I were talking, and we had just had an experience where we got together with some of our girlfriends, and we were processing the last couple years. And all of us were in different emotional spaces about it, but that was okay. And we just let each other be where we were. And we realize that's a rare thing for women. So typically, we have a lot of rules placed on us about how we should act and what emotions we should share, which we'll get into here. My background is, so for 20 plus years now, I've worked in the field to end violence against women. I used to work at a local nonprofit for a lot of years doing advocacy, both individual and systemic advocacy. And then I also did groups with women who use violence. They were fighting back against their abusive partners. And during that time, I co-authored a curriculum that was specific to how do you do groups with women who are using violence. And the basis of that curriculum is really looking at what are the social forces in women's lives that they can attach to their lived experience, which is resulting in what they're living. And so I've done this work forever.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's get into what you had mentioned about how women are supposed to be a certain thing in society and what kind of boxes we get stuck in.
Okay, so I'm going to talk kind of like from the eagle eye view, big picture for a minute. So the way that our society is organized, you know, we're hierarchically organized. So there are people at the top and there are people at the bottom. And the people at the bottom of society, they have less power, they have less voice. And the way in which you keep people at the bottom of society, and I would put women, you know, fall in the bottom of society, just in terms of the value that's placed on them, the power that they have, the voice that they are allowed to speak. So the way that you keep people at the bottom of society is that you have to make them out to be that something's wrong with them, that they're less than, that they are crazy, they're irrational, they individually are flawed. When in truth, these stereotypes, particularly gender stereotypes, but also racial stereotypes, are socially constructed, and they're socially constructed to actually keep people in their place. And so part of the work that, you know, I would say you and I are trying to do on some level is to pull back and pull these apart so we can put them back together in a way that is freeing for people. So these gender stereotypes, and gender is, you know, a fluid term. In truth, naturally, both sexes possess a variety and a spectrum of these characteristics that we're stereotyping to feminine or masculine. So these feminine stereotypes, particularly around emotion, is that women are emotional, they're illogical, therefore they can't make clear decisions, they're unprofessional, They are illogical. So you start to see this playing out in terms of leadership roles, how women are showing up for positions or not, how their work life plays out. And it's a problem. It's very problematic for women.
Let's talk about if women do show their true emotions in a work setting. What does that do to us on a personal level?
So part of what is problematic about this whole notion of, you know, women are more emotional than men is that when it plays out in a work setting, so you can't really actually win, to be quite honest, in this paradigm, because if you are a woman who outwardly expresses your emotion, so you're going outside of the stereotype, you're not the nice, quiet, just smile and listen and do your work with your head down. If you are overly emotional, you're expressing that, you're probably going to get talked to, or you're going to get asked things like, what's going on with you? You can't do that here. You can't be so emotional in this situation, blah, 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 blah. And on the flip side of that is the women who aren't outwardly expressing their emotion are viewed as cold. What's wrong with her? You know, she's having a bad day. She's not friendly. She's not nice. So you kind of can't win.
It's Laura Connolly. We're talking about the latest Strong Women Focus Group for KEXE, KBXE. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we heard and what you kind of pulled out of that in terms of meanings.
Yeah, so after we record the Zoom, and I will say, I just want to say to you that this was one time where I feel like I wished we could have been in person after it was all said and done, because I think it would have been a lot easier to kind of pull back and hold some of the stuff that people were saying up and really dig deep into it. But Zoom it's fine and it works, but it's a little harder to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So just preface this with that. So one thing that we heard, I think, pretty much throughout, and because I went back and re-listened to the recording and took down notes of quotes that people were saying, and the most common thing was people were talking about the ways in which they adapted themselves to fit into this women are too emotional paradigm. So, for example, you know, one woman was talking about how she monitors her biorhythm to make sure that times when she's more emotional than not, she's not scheduling important meetings. And that was in part because early on in her work life, she was working in a male-dominated field, and she got emotional during a meeting, and one of her coworkers, a male coworker, came up to her and called her like a pansy, blah, 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 something. Mm-hmm. And so from that point forward, she said, I'm not going to let them see that part of me. And then she also started to define like what's professional and what's not, which we'll get into in a little bit as well. And then other women talked about, one woman talked about how she just doesn't show up anymore for volunteering on boards or community organizations or event, because she spent a lot of years at the table where if she would get emotional, rightfully so, she would get mansplained, she would get told that, you know, it's too much, don't want to hear it. So she just basically kind of started to check out from doing that sort of stuff. Another woman talked about, this one is actually, I think, comes up in every women's focus group that we do. Okay, so there's this idea of when there are women in the workplace who look like they have more power than other women, you know, they don't typically ever have as much power as their male cohort, but they have some power, and then they use that against the other women in the organization. And so that is horizontal hostility. It happens all the time in society between women, and it's because of the way that we are socialized and our position in society that we do that to each other. But it's hard to see that in the moment. Mm-hmm. So women tend to want to say, well, women do this to other women. And yes, we do, and we should not. We should stand together. Mm-hmm. So that came up. One woman talked about how she's not a crier, but that she gets angry, and that the people in her work, the men in her work, are scared of the women's anger, or they don't like it. They don't want to deal with it.
You know, it was really interesting too. You've told me this all along as we have done these focus groups that, you know, we're taking an hour and a half of people's times as we're sitting in a focus group, usually maybe 2 hours. And it's about women and women's experiences. But inevitably, pretty early on in each of the focus groups, stuff starts to come out about men, and that men need to know this too. Men, we shouldn't blame all men. I've got great men in my life, you know, this kind of stuff. Could you kind of speak to that? Why do you think that crops up? What do you think that means?
Yeah, so it does come up every time. That's another theme that comes up. And it's in part because the patriarchal society that we have is detrimental to men. When women don't do well, men don't do well. It's kind of the idea of, you know, we all do better when we all do better. If women are doing really well and successful, men's lives would be improved immensely. But that's not how it's viewed. So part of it is that, right? Just acknowledging that this is actually harmful to all of us when we have a society that's organized this way. But then the other piece of it is that we as women, we don't grow up thinking that we should have time that is specific to our lived experiences and with other women be able to talk about that so that we can understand the social forces operating in our lives that are causing us problems to be able to change that. We don't get that. So when you actually have moments where that's happening, it's really easy for women to kind of get scared and pull back and think that it's not okay to fully give to that. And they want to talk about, you know, the men in their lives who are great, which I'm sure that they are. But as one person in our focus group said, that's true. And I hope that men take the time themselves to work on solving this problem as well. But for this time, I want to focus on women and what women are, you know, what's their lived experience.
Is there a way for you to give it your all?
That's Strong Women on KAXE, KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. Thank you for tuning in. We'll have the second part of this with our consultant and facilitator, Laura Connolly, coming up in a moment. It is our fall membership drive, and we are asking for you to support this kind of conversation, only produced here at KAXE, KBXE. It's important that you do that. We're asking for a simple gift from you to continue to bring you the voices of the people, of the women in the community of Northern Minnesota. Call now to pledge your support at 800-662-5799. Pledge at $15 a month or above will get you the brand new Egret tote bag, thanks to Strong Woman artist Kelly Ray Tice of Floodwood. You can also text the word donate to 218-326-1234 and stay tuned for more from our Strong Women conversation.
There is a light you have inside you can touch.
It's time for the second part of our conversation from our Strong Women focus group we held last week via Zoom, where we talked about women and emotion. In the first part of the conversation, we talked about some of the things that naturally had cropped up. Things about workplace and being professional and whether you should show emotions in a workplace. Laura Connolly continues the conversation now. She's our Strong Women facilitator. I think we want to get to this idea of there was some conversation about workplaces and, you know, kind of specifics about a difficult situation and some questioning of whether people, women, were acting appropriately or acting professionally in the workplace where they had shown some emotion. Can you kind of talk about how that social construct of professionalism, because there was also some texting going on during that in the chat on Zoom of who defines what professionalism is, you know, it's just a really interesting thing that popped up.
Yeah. So these are the kind of questions that you and I are ultimately trying to understand. So who does define professionalism? You know, when you think of a leader, what pops into your mind? Is it a man who's like, you know, just has all the answers and makes the right decisions every time? What pops into your mind when you think about professionalism? You know, I personally would love to work for somebody who's authentic and real and true and legitimate. That's what I think of as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who builds a structure where people get to flourish rather than feel like they can't be who they fully are. We also were questioning, who said that women are so emotional or more emotional? And who said that that's negative? How has this become a problem? Mm-hmm. You know, to be able to pull back far enough to answer those questions is how you're ultimately going to change those structures. One woman in particular spent a lot of time talking about this idea of professionalism. And so, you know, from her perspective, being emotional, outwardly emotional in the workplace is not professional. And it's not going to serve you well, which is probably true at this stage of humanity. We would like to see it evolve past that. Another woman questioned this idea of who defined professionalism. Other women are saying things like, you know, are you handling these situations with compassion? And you and I had talked after the focus group, and we were talking about how that came up a lot. You know, like, did you do it from a place of compassion? And you had said to me, I wonder if men sit around in groups and talk about their actions, and if other men say to them, you know, well, did you handle that from a place of compassion? Maybe. I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah.
It's probably rare.
Yeah.
But that's put on us. Like, we are supposed to be those people.
So, as you talk about this kind of mix of the bigger picture of this kind of social design of how women operate in the world, but then we're hearing the personal stories, what do you think a group, a conversation like this means or could lead to? Like, what's the big hope here?
So personally, the big hope for me is that people can, women in particular at this point, can start to see that social stereotypes are not a result of the individual woman. So there is not something fundamentally wrong with women, and that's why we're seeing these stereotypes. It's because culture and society has put these as parameters for women to live in. And so the hope is always to pull back far enough to see all those forces in our lives and to give women a couple hours in their life where they can do that so that they can start to change it and so that they don't have to play into it, so that they can be true in themselves.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean you're not emotionally intelligent and
right,
all over the map and just coming unhinged and unglued everywhere you go. You know, this is a real high level of awareness to be able to be real with yourself and with the world.
Right. Because there's so many different layers of things. Like, if you do stand up for yourself in a workplace situation, even just being really direct, let alone being emotional, it's not always taken well. And then I think women often kind of beat themselves up for that, that they did that, because it doesn't really, you're not used to it, so it doesn't feel good in the moment. You know you should be doing it, but it doesn't feel good.
Absolutely, and that came up in the focus group. One woman stood up for herself, and then she spent the next week beating herself up about it. Luckily, she came full circle and realized it's what she needed to do. It was honest. It was real. It wasn't like a blame game. It was just stating her truth. And, you know, ultimately, that's what you need to do as a person. I think so women do that, right? They say what's happening. They are emotional. And then they beat themselves up. And then there's also women who just ultimately right away want to fix it. They want to fix things for everybody. Fix these problems. Fix it. And some of that was coming out in the focus group. When people were talking about their lived experience, then, you know, somebody would chime in with a fix it. And we have to be careful about that too, because that also sends this message of kind of psychologizing everything women are doing, which, you know, then something's wrong with them. And not, I'm not in any way saying, of course, mental health and therapy and individual work is critical for people. It's more about taking in the social stories and narratives and personalizing them to the point that they're detrimental to us and, quite frankly, keeping us down.
I was really touched that there were a few women there that were there on kind of behalf of their daughters. And daughters, adult daughters working in typically male workplaces, and sounded like she was a pretty strong mom already, but she wanted to get more information and kind of understand things a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think some validation in what her daughters were telling her was wrong. So a couple things with her, which I thought was fascinating and, you know, had a little humor to it, was, so she said that she's a very direct person. Like, people don't need to wonder where she's coming from. And she'll often hear, both from men and women, why don't you tell us what you really think? Which is a microaggression. And, you know, like, she's saying, well, I just did. But then she also talked about how her daughter had just said, you know, there's this woman who couldn't get, who didn't get a leadership role because they told her she's way too emotional. And then she also talked about how her daughter works in, you know, a setting where there's a lot of crisis, things are happening, and they were processing some of that stuff in the break room, emotional, as of course you should be, you know, not showing any of that is hurtful to people. And they were basically criticized for doing that from their employers.
So the conversations will continue after the first of the year. We'll be holding some more Strong Women focus groups. I heard from, I think, at least 5 women after we did it that they wished they had been there. They were busy. So we'll have additional groups, and hopefully someday we won't be in a pandemic. We can all get together again.
Yeah, that'll be great. I hope for that too.
That's Laura Connolly. She is our Strong Women facilitator. If you want more information, you can email Heidi@kaxe.org, and we'll be announcing focus groups for 2022 coming up. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you. And can I just say thank you to KAXE? I really can't stress enough how unique and important it is that you are intentionally focused on this issue and bringing women's voices to the table and listening and learning. Thank you.
I might get emotional. Thank you.